What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another Power Pack episode planned for you all tonight. I have my girl, Miss Daisy, up in the building with me. How you doing, sis? I am good. I am good. You all, we'd ask you all to please forgive us for starting late. We know the prize at 6 o'clock, but technology would not be my friend tonight. So we're getting in and we're here tonight and we're ready to get started. We have two Power Pack guests, which you all will get to meet very soon. But before we get too far started on the show tonight, we are going to play a little bit of the theme song. As this theme song is playing, like, say, tag, and let somebody and let everybody know that we'll talk about day's own. Let's go.
What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for We'll Talk Monday.
So we're going to start it off with prayer on the night, and then we're going to get into introducing these lovely guests and get this interview started. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you have done and all that you are continuing to do for us in our life. We'd ask you to bless this show, Heavenly Father. Let it be everything that you would have it to be. Let us move self out of the way so that you get the glory, you get the honor, and you get the praise. And these many blessings in your son Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right. So you all, we're about to get this started, and we're going to let our guests introduce themselves, whichever one wants to start it off.
Jasmine, you go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jasmine Hall, also known as The Worth Coach, where I serve as a coach, a committability coach for professional mothers who want to say yes to themselves by committing to own their worth. I am also a high school educator, and I am blessed to be on this panel tonight. So hello, everybody, and happy Monday.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, I am Argillian Gilmer. I am the owner and CEO of Gilmer's Learning Solutions, an academic support business. I also am an educator, licensed 4th through 8th grade, ELA and social studies. I've had the privilege of teaching middle schoolers for the last maybe 6 years. That's where my heart is. They say you have to be as crazy as a middle schooler in order to teach middle school. And that might be a little bit true. I really do appreciate you all for inviting me to have a conversation with y'all tonight.
Thank you for joining, ladies.
Yes, yes, yes. And before we get too far started, we want to give a shout out to our sister, Miss Andrea Perry, for bringing these two awesome women to this panel. I hit up our sister and I'm like, sis, we need some awesome women for this panel. I said, we need some awesome guests for this panel. And she said, say no more, I got you. And within 5 minutes, she had shot me some names of some people. And I'm like, let's make it happen. Let's go. I'm like, yes, thank you. So shout out to Miss Andrea Perry for bringing these two dynamic women to this panel. All right, y'all. So we're ready to get this started. And Daisy, we'll let you kick off the questions for these ladies.
You want to tell them what the topic is for today?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, y'all. Topic for tonight is our history is still important. Our history is still important.
Hence why we've that the best people to, you know, have this discussion with is teachers, right? All right. So, our first question that we're going to jump right into because of time is, what does Black history education looks like to you? What does Black history education looks like to whoever want to go first?
Well, since I got my note, to me, Black history education is or should be presenting an accurate history of the African American, you know, from our origin to where we are present day, you know, from Africa to America, an accurate timeline and accurate portrayal of our people, which also includes our education, our innovations, and our wealth. Black history education should be presented as all history is supposed to be presented, from the perspective of change and continuity, so that we can see how what has happened in the past has affected our people and how it is currently affecting us all today.
I agree 1,000% on that. I'll add my thoughts at the end, but you can go ahead and go our next guest.
Okay, so I'm coming also from the perspective, I also used to teach social studies, and what Black history means to me is not only understanding where we're, how we started, but where we're also going. Because we are history. We're Black history every day. And I know it's not talked about enough in school. And I'm being 100% with you. I teach at a predominantly Black high school in near Atlanta. And it's not like our kids, they don't want to, I won't say they, not all of them, but they don't really want to take it as seriously as they should. But it's something that we as people, not, and that's the thing, a lot of us get so caught up with, oh, this has to be taught at school, but a lot of this starts at home. But we have to be first as parents, as community. We have to show them why history is important and what, how they're making history each and every day.
That just to what I was going to say as well. I think history is an all around thing. It shouldn't just be at school. And so what if they're learning the history that they need to learn at school, and then they come at home and they don't know that history, that how the house was built or whose grandma house and who was over grandma and so on and so forth. And I say all of that to say, you know, we do put a lot of the burden, I feel, on school, on the teachers, but it's a community and it's a group of people to instill something in a child and even an adult. It takes community in a village. You know, just that's like having a tribe, adults having a tribe, keeping them accountable. And, you know, that's like them having homework and taking it home. You're not just going to tell them to go to the corner and do their homework and not go over it with them, study it with them. So I feel like when it comes to Black history education as a whole, and kids, we may not take it as we should. And I feel like that's also why you see societies kind of tucking more and more each year, each time, under the rug, because we're not fighting for that thing. We're not vouching for it. We're not speaking about it. We aren't speaking about it with our head held high as a collective, as a people. So I agree with both of you guys on that. What about James?
I really feel like as far as Black history and what I think of when I hear it is I think of our history. Let's be all the way honest and all the way real. They're not going to tell you this in school, but if it wasn't for Black African American people, a lot of this stuff that we have nowadays would not exist. If we really want to be 100 with it and not keep it 100, America was built off the backs of African American people. They're not going to tell you that in school. However, that is where it has to stop being on the school to tell them that. And we as a community have to start telling them that. One of the things that we have messed up on as a community is we have become so caught up in keeping up with the Joneses that we forgot about where we've come from. And then we want to complain about our kids not knowing their history. Well, how are they going to know their history if you ain't teaching them? So we got to take that responsibility to take it up and be willing to help our young people as they go along.
Yeah. And I want to argue that it continuing at home does not have to be, because I understand kids' attention span, whether they're high schoolers or not, some people learn different. And so when they're being jammed with work on home, they want to relax. They want to release, but you can make it so fun. There's so many Black museums that no one goes to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be feeling a way where it's, they feel as though they're being trained more work once they're at home. And we could, you know, the parents can take their kids to a museum or go on a road trip. There's many in Georgia. Like, just in Georgia, just driving from Georgia to South Carolina, North Carolina, there's just so much in a pit stop that you can learn just in that 8-hour drive with history itself, fields and things like that. So it can be a fun thing outside of the school. And I know that's part of where a lot of parents struggle with, like, how do I talk to my kids about Black history without making it boring for them because they don't want to continue to instill education type thing while they're not in school? Because I've heard that before. The kids come home and it's time for them to kind of relax and not pick up their books as much. But I feel like we have to still keep it in a balance, a healthy balance, where in the summer example, yes, it's all fun and games, but I feel as though there's a portion of time too that they still need to pick up the books. They still need to read. They still need to study. Get the group of friends that they hang out and play with, that they go to the water park with, and take a day aside to get in the books together. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like there's just so many different creative ways to make it fun to where the kids aren't drained. So did you guys want to add to that?
No, you're right. I mean, it has to continue at home and it doesn't have to be boring. You know, life lessons can tie back to our history, whether we're cooking. It could be, I might be cooking some hem hocks and my kid's like, ugh, I ain't eating that. Well, did you know that our people use every part of the animal that they were given because they didn't get to have they didn't have Panera. they didn't have Chipotle, you know, like they use everything in anything, literally anything can tie back to our history and it can be a teachable moment for our kids so that they know about us. Anything can be.
I love that. And my children, I can say they, it's a blessing and a curse that their mom is a teacher because, like you said, especially K-5, every summer, pick up that book and study. I would buy those books where they're working on something, studying something, and they tell me when they got older, I couldn't stand it, but it helped you, and they didn't realize it. But even like you said, just tying it back to them, having these discussions at the dinner table, that's something that, like, I definitely still try to do my best. My kids, my own children are both high school students now. And I still try my best to make sure that we have some time at least four times a week, days a week, having a dinner, you know, talking about stuff. And I think I really think what a lot of it ties back to, and I've spoken a little bit about this, is like, we got to know our own history. You know, I love talking to my grandmother and asking about my great grandparents and all this and all that, you know, and I've even researched my family tree, my dad. You know, I told my children, like, you're not going to, your grandpa, my dad, your grandma, they're not going to be here forever. So use this to your advantage. Get the knowledge. Learn about who, you know, your people are, and have pictures and show them. And, you know, granted, right now they're like, oh, okay. But one day they're going to remember and say, oh, I remember that my great-great-great-grandfather was this person, or they were slaves and this. And then now they can tie it back to school and say, I, you know, have this part in my family, or, you know, so it can definitely be fun. And I think that's where a lot of it gets lost, is, oh, this is boring. This is just history. This is too much. But like you said, the attention span is slim to none, you know, unless it's not on TikTok or Instagram Reel, you know, we probably lost them. But, you know, we can definitely make it fun and engaging for them.
Absolutely. Did you want to add to
that? Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I thank God for was, before I was of age, eligible to vote, my parents decided to take me to Memphis to the Civil Rights Museum so that I could see everything that our people have went through in order for me to get that right to vote. And it was just so ironic for me that when I was eligible to vote, my first election that I voted in, an African-American man was running for president. So it was kind of surreal for me, like, wow. So you got to make sure that you take that time. Like we said, it can be fun, but you just got to make sure you get that time in so that they can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else? Before I go to number two? No? All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so number one question for you guys. What are your thoughts on this statement and this new law that I'm about to read, okay? Florida's public school will now teach students that some Black people benefited from slavery because it taught them useful skills as a part of the new African American history standards. Do y'all need me to read that again? Oh, you got it.
We got it.
Before you go any further, and this man is running for president, I'm going on mute. I'm going on mute after that.
And listen, I live in the state of Florida, okay? So, okay. Go ahead. The floor belongs to you all. Y'all, who want to go?
I will say a statement like that should make us angry. And then not even just us, but it should make our children angry. You know, because sometimes that's what it takes. Not to, you know, I don't want people to start a riot, but we have to get angry. Like, this made me mad, you know? And because, I mean, he's there lately. We've seen some other people who are leaders have said some stuff. And I you know, when Trump was president, my students did get angry. You know, they had something to say. They wanted to talk about that. But we have been, you know, most of our students and some of our children, they see, oh, things are fine, you know. But no, now it's time to say something. It's time to do something. And sometimes that's what it takes. It takes us to get a little angry and form and join each other as a community to stand up for and fight for what's ours and what's right.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with being it should make us angry. It should make our children angry. And no, we're not January 6th thing. We're not, if I can make that a verb, we're not January 6th thing. But, you know, there should be some righteous indignation there, because my first thought when I first heard that a while back, a little bit ago, I was just like, why do y'all hate us? That's my first thought. You know, besides fear, you know, why do y'all hate us? And then I just feel like, you know, that's the true indoctrination right there. The power structures that be want to say that critical race theory is indoctrination. No, that's the indoctrination right there. Because what we're doing is, if we can introduce this at a grade school level, then we can create generations of African Americans who are docile, who feel like, you know, whatever the current power structure says, then this is what it is. And it's teaching them, it's not just them, not just students, because adults too. It's teaching us to accept whatever is put on our plate. And you know, there should be some indignation with that, because I'm not a pig. You can't put slop on my plate and expect me to eat it because I can eat it. And how did slavery? How did slavery benefit us? Like, what skills did we learn? And now they've modified that verbiage to say in some instances and for some people, but how did slavery really benefit us? Because what skills did we learn as slaves that we didn't come with? Because nobody came over in 1619 on the white lion that Dutch slave ship to get us, because we weren't skillful. If we weren't skillful, then I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have been such a hot commodity. So we already knew agriculture. We already had, you know, these technical skills. We already were full of culinary skills. So what skills did we learn in slavery that actually benefited us? Because we came with them. God gave them to us.
Right. I mean, if you really want to be honest with it, it didn't benefit us. It benefited them because they got free labor. It benefited them because they was able to build a country off of our backs, as I said before. When I hear statements like that, it makes me realize we've come so far, but we still have so far that we have to go. Because it's like, yes, we was able to get an African-American president, but yet and still, for every one Barack Obama that we got, you have another person like this that is coming with this kind of a mindset. And if we really want to be honest with it, it's not that they hate us. What the problem is they are tired of feeling guilty for what has happened to us. So if they can erase our history and make us believe that this helped us instead of hurt us, then they can take some of that guilt off of their plate.
I agree with a little bit of everyone. When me living in Florida, so let me run it back a little bit. When election was going on, when Donald Trump was initially running, I felt all of emotions, because I really, honestly, the spirit of the Lord already was showing me how bad that was going had he been president. So At the time, I was working in a medical practice with a bunch of people that I found out that voted for him. So being around that, I felt very betrayed, uneasy. You can't talk. For a while, it took me a long time to start having regular conversation. Like, I was very silent, not rude, just to myself. Because y'all voted someone that's racist, and I'm African-American, I'm Black, and y'all voted. So you agree with his mindset. You agree with Black people should be on this side. Basically, Trump came and wanted to separate us, and he gave them courage and boldness to speak out loudly. Hence why we are still now today, and why this became a thing in Florida. What really caught my attention, to bring it up to speed now, with this statement, and I highlighted it every time I read it, was some Black people benefited. So when I first heard that, what initially came to my vision was them being sarcastic, saying that we benefited, because what do they always look down upon us for now today? For fighting, for killing each other. So immediately when I read that one line, that statement, that we benefited from slavery, back in slavery, watch a lot of old slavery movies, we had to fight. We had to fight, we had to struggle, we had to fight to survive. So are those the skills you're talking about? Because they will never, when it comes to the government and the governors here, I've never heard them come out of their mouth and said, we invented, we have people because we created the iron. We created a light. They will never give us that credit. So what skills, my mindset when I read that was, what skills y'all talking about? Because you never admit that we have any legit skills besides killing each other and fighting. So what skills? So that's what I thought, that they were being really funny, that we fought and learned how to survive as a skill. That I really don't think they're talking about technical skills here, guys. I really don't. I really highly doubt it, that they're talking about any skills in creating anything or being successful in life. Because of their mindset on how they look down on us and what they think of us. And these are people that was, Trump lives in Florida, where I reside, okay? And these are the same people that be sitting, going to the Trump hotel. So it's very hard for me to believe that they're giving us any credit to the skills that of being successful in life. No. So my second thought, after I read all of that and I sat on it, I said, you know what? I would like to sit in the classroom with one of the teachers for them to teach that and hear how they're presenting that. I would really like to sit in the classroom. Some Black people benefited from slavery will be taught. How are you going to teach that?
You know, I actually, my bonus baby is 15. She lives in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to have these conversations with her, to ask what's being taught? How is it being taught? What conversation did you all have? Because I'm with you. How are you teaching that?
Mm-hmm. Like, how would you even bring that up? Because I feel like if they're even gonna pull away some things and word this thing here, how this word to me, it just really sounds as though they're going to go to the students and say what it is they said in this statement, that we benefited from being in slavery. What else are you gonna say? Because in this statement, had they had any different agenda to it, I feel like they would have said, we benefited by creating this. And because now we have a president that is African-American and he, you know, they just left it with an open dead end. So it was open and then it closed. And So.
Well, you know, it's intentionally worded that way. It's intentionally ambiguous so that, you know, if someone reads into it, it can be said, well, all we said was that they benefited. We didn't say how they benefited. And then it leaves it up to the interpretation of whatever teacher is teaching it under the guidance of their, you know, curriculum and instruction department, which is under the guidance of their school district, which is under the guidance of the State Board of Education, which is under the guidance of the legislator, which is under the guidance of the governor. So it's still it's still there. The water's still muddy, like, mm-hmm. but it's worded that way intentionally.
Yeah. I would just like to sit in the classroom. I think I may do that one day while I'm in Florida. I really need to sit in the classroom and see how that's going to be presented, because that don't sit well at all. And I don't have kids yet, but that, you know, I plan on having kids. And so how this is already going in our society, it really troubles my spirit, because I love kids. And I feel that parents trust their kids to go off to school. Not saying it's the teachers, but it's sad because the teachers have to, like you were saying, they have to go to the governor. They have to, you know, do what they're telling them to do. And that's another reason why teachers are leaving, because teachers, a lot of teachers I knew here in Florida, really genuinely want to see the kids thrive and way. And so when the governor started getting involved in the way, that took their passion out of it, because now you're brainwashing the kids and you're not doing it properly, and the kids are getting left behind because you're not teaching them what they need to know in order to thrive. So it's just, yeah. All right, would you guys like to add anything else to that before we go to our next question? No? All right.
I will say something real quick. Just like I said, I took a little time out of education. I was one of those teachers who, you know, felt the burnout and everything. But now I'm back. Yeah. But I definitely, like I said earlier, it's two ways to teach it. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. It's two ways to teach it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to teach it my way. But
yeah,
I'll teach you my way. And but like I said, I think with the way it was worded, it should make some people mad. Because I'll be honest, when Trump was elected, one of my children cried. Mm. You know, and they were younger, much younger than they are now. But like, because they've seen it, they were witnessing, you know, a lot of just what was going on in the school. Mm-hmm. I remember, they did a election, you know, where the students actually, you know, voted, and they would come home to me and they would talk to me like, you know, such and such, you know, so many people voted for Trump and some people voted for Biden and da 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 da. And I'm like, and it brought up conversations at home, like, you know, we don't know why, you know, why that person chose that. They may believe the same things that he believes, you know, and, you know, but it is stuff like that sometimes, unfortunately, has to happen for us to start talking and start us to say, okay, things ain't going right. You know what I'm saying? Something ain't right. You know, we can't be drinking this Kool-Aid, you know, we got to do something about it. And so hopefully that wakes us all up. I'll say that much.
Yeah. And I agree with that. A lot of times we get, you know, and it's sad to say we want to relax too. You know, African American, we want to relax too. But sad, not that we have to fight, but we have to allow any evil. What happens when we pull back a bit, they come in and they did with the skill benefited and make up their own things. And so what I believe what Trump becoming president initially his first year, what it did was expose a lot of people. It exposed so many people to where it sadly, it caused a division for a while, and still is. I live here. There's he lives over a bridge, if I must say, and I'm on the other side of the bridge, and you see it already sounds. And so that bridge, I sometimes go over it to work out because it's a bridge we like to run and work out over. And if he is over there, there's cops always sitting there. He is there, the lights go down, they interrogate us. And so that when president, it got so worse to where I don't know over there because I can't deal. Not because I'm afraid, but because I can't deal. They're like one of the times that I made over there working out and they arrested him or something like that. He was trespassing. But there's never anything that's can't go there. It's a free open community for you to go, and there's down there. So yeah, it just exposed so much. It's so much tension here. I mean, I can say it, but be here, you feel it. You feel it. And it makes you unease. And I tell my what work all the time, I talk about it, and I'm like, I'm only one person, but like we've been this whole show, if we can all come together, even if it's me and someone else, go to City Hall every day. Listen, I'm willing to go on them people's steps every day. We got to be heard. And that history right there, that's what our African American history started from, making a change, being bold and confident. A lot of times we don't want to lose our job in our life. Yes, I get and I understand, but what do we stand for if we continue to just take anything? You know, they're never going to respect us. One thing, if we do go and stand for what is right, they may not like us, but have to respect. And so that's how I feel about it. Y'all, just
one thing that we really also have to do, in all honesty, is yes, we got to get with them about what they're teaching our children in school, yeah, as far as slavery was not a bad thing for some people, but we also got to get with them about what they're teaching our kids as far as in African American history. Mm-hmm. Granted, I love hearing about Dr. Martin Luther King. I love hearing about Harriet Tubman. I love hearing about Abraham Lincoln freeing the slaves. But there's so much more, yeah, that they can touch on that they leave out, yeah, just for the simple fact of they don't want to step on any toes.
Yeah.
No, give us more of our history. We are more than slaves. We was more than the Montgomery bus boycott. We was more than all of that.
Yeah.
We did more than that.
Yeah.
But we got to start telling them like we want to.
We got to start acting freed. We've been freed a long time ago. And so we've got to start walking in our freedom and stop allowing people to keep us bound as if we're still in slavery. Nah, we've been freed. We've been freed. And so I really think we do intimidate them for whatever reason. And if we can just all come together, it'll be, we know that may not just, that's just a prayer. But I don't like the fact that they keep this slavery thing over us, because it's a trigger for us. And it's a way to get us to react. They want us to react in an ignorant way because that's how they think of us. I think you were going to say something, and then we had a lot more questions. We may have to do a part two, but
definitely we got to,
because of time. I think you wanted to add something. I saw you unmuting. I'll go to the very last question and then we can close out, but add something, right? No? Okay. I thought I saw someone when I looked down on mute. Okay. All right. So our last, we had a bunch of other questions. Are y'all okay with coming for part two?
Absolutely.
Definitely. Just say the word.
Okay. James and I will get with you on a date, but let me close out with this last question, y'all, because y'all are educators. So we got to, you know, see how you feel about overall the topic itself. As educators, what change would you like to see happen in schools to better educate on all culture and history as a whole?
Repeat that one more time for me.
As educators, what change would you like to see happen in schools to better educate our children, culture itself, and history as a whole? Because, you know, we're talking back in history, but I think it's fair enough that we need to be teaching on all history, culture, you know, whether it's Indian. I feel like it's just one set culture that really sticks out all the time. And we don't know nothing else about no other land, no other island. So, yeah, that's what I want.
If I could take that so that I can go meet my client, and I have the same answer that I have on the last panel I was on, and that is to get politicians, to get lobbyists, to get political action committees out of school business. Because unless you have been here, unless you have worked in this classroom, you've gone through an educator prep program, you are a highly effective educator who works with children, you don't know what you're talking about. That's you haven't been in it to tell me how I need to do it and what I should be teaching. And it should not be influenced by money, power, and politics. Amen. Education should not be influenced in those ways. And unfortunately, that is the influence in education. Mm-hmm. Get them out of there. Like, mm-hmm. Can we just focus on our kids? And I agree with you that teaching all history is important, which is another reason that critical race theory and culturally responsive teaching are important, because that will teach us to know who our students are, mm-hmm. to invest in who they are, to really be interested in who they are, where they come from, mm-hmm. and then we can see some progress. Mm-hmm. We can go some places.
Yeah.
Get them out of there.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes,
I agree with that. They need to go. They're not in trenches with us, so they don't understand what really needs to be done, what needs to be said. But I'm glad that you asked this question, because I actually was just having a discussion with some colleagues on this mm-hmm. last week, and we do, you know, like I teach at a predominantly Black school, and we do need to do a better job, not only with our, you know, discussing our history, mm-hmm. but just other cultures, yeah. you know, and that was brought up, like, you know, some of our Hispanic students feel isolated. Like, we don't do not only just the culture, but we don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have, you know, celebrations. We don't bring awareness. And I am committing, and that's part of who I am as a committability coach, but I am committing to do that this year, you know, and just whether it's, you know, helping be on a committee to help do that, but we need to do a better job. Like, even our own kids are you know, African-American, they need to understand other cultures, you know, because they don't understand these cultures. One, we could learn a lot from some of these cultures, how to embrace each other.
Yeah.
And we could do so much, and everybody should feel included.
Right.
Yeah, everybody should.
Absolutely. I remember when I went to school in New York, in Jersey, and back then, I remember us having a culture festive celebration with history, social studies. And that was everyone from their culture, their background, bring a dish. Mm-hmm. And that was, the teacher had us do that. And, but like you said, as time is passing, year is passing, our government has brought things back some way, somehow.
Yeah.
And I know our kids have not done anything like that. Like, they don't even know what, you know, the full Hispanic presidents and so forth. Like, I learned some of that stuff in school. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that's being taught now at all.
No. Well, world history, maybe. But that's not enough. It's not enough.
Period. It's not.
Just to be able to embrace other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing when other cultures have their months, you know, just doing things.
Yeah.
You have to, and that's one thing I would love for us to get away from, is just everything has to be Black History Month. No, Black history is every day.
Right.
All Black history is every day. And we should celebrate and acknowledge it every day in some shape or form. So I'm committed to doing that. And hopefully by part two, I will be able to share with you how I am joining that force and making sure that this is done.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And I want to touch, before I hand it over to James, I want to also add to what you said. There's so many other different culture, and we're always highlighting just Black history. And as a Black woman, I'm not afraid to say that if we continue to just always pound, pound, pound Black history, when there's so many other cultures around Hispanic, there's Indian, you have a lot of foreign students that are now moving to the state and that is in school. Mm-hmm. And if we continue to overlook them, then we're now becoming the people that we're trying, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we got
the oppressor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't allow them to make us bitter to where we forget that there's other cultures being overlooked. And then when down the line, we overcome, you know, our aim for fighting for Black history. And then now they're going to talk about how we forgot about them. So we want to include them as well.
Yes.
And feel appreciated because they are living in the States regardless of what background they are, and they're in school. So we got to make it a collective celebration for all culture, I feel like. What about you, James?
I definitely, the way that I feel that we can improve on it is by getting involved, making our presence known, stop depending on the government in the school system to teach our children what they need to know. We said it in the beginning of the show, I'll say it again. It has to be a community effort.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why our forefathers, our parents knew as much as they knew about their history is because the community taught them the history. However, what we have failed at is we've gotten our money now. We've started doing better for ourselves. However, when we started doing better for ourselves, we forgot where we came from.
Yeah.
And our people perished because of lack of knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah.
You know, one thing that I've realized as I've lived in this life, been living this life for 33 years, almost 34, you know, one of the biggest problems as African Americans is not only are we not teaching our history, but we're not supporting each other as well.
Yeah.
You know, Caucasian money, that money multiplies about 5 or 6 times. Hispanic money, that money multiplies about 8 or 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
Asian money, that money multiplies 10 or 11 times. African American money, that money don't multiply any because we're running around supplying everybody else and giving our money to everybody else and then forgetting our own people. However, I will say this. Yes, we have to support our own. But however, our own has to do better about making sure that we are bringing something to the table for us to support. You know, don't just support Black business just because it's a Black business. Make sure they are bringing everything to the table that they need to bring as well. And Jasmine, I believe I speak for Daisy and myself when I say, if you need us for anything with what you are about to start doing, let us know. We got your back.
Appreciate
We're ready to help out in any way.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, we definitely, I'm going to reach out definitely and get some ideas. I'm all for ideas and support. So, but yeah, this is nothing but God, you know, bringing it back to me. Like, yeah, I got something for you to do and something for you to take on. So I appreciate, again, you all having me here, bringing this knowledge to me and helping me order my steps and what I need to do and do my part in making sure that Black history, as well as all history and culture, is celebrated fairly.
Yeah. Aww. Well, I'm glad we could have been confirmation for you.
Amen.
God always come through. He always shows up.
On time.
Always. Mm-hmm. Okay.
On time.
We're so honored that you are giving yourself to our children, because we know it's not an easy task, and we know that many are throwing in the towel, but you not only took break, but you went back. So thank you for your good deed. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for all that you do for our children, and most importantly, God's children, because
they're Amen.
Precious beings, and they need real love like your love.
Thank you. That means so much. That really touched my heart. So thank y'all. I needed this. I really did. You know, God gave me joy, because I needed that. And I appreciate y'all so much. So, and thank you, Drea. Thank you. I don't know if she's watching. But
thank you, Andrea, again. Thank you.
For putting me in position. She knows. She knows what time it is.
Yes.
So thank y'all so much.
Thank you for
having me. No problem. Y'all will definitely be back for a part two coming very soon. I promise you that. Promise y'all that. And hopefully by then, technology will be more of my friend at that point. And
okay,
we'll
Jay.
Be back up and rolling.
Thank y'all. So, have a good night.
Love y'all. And we will see y'all next Monday. Peace.
Peace. Good night.
Good night, y'all.